mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Well, it was an active day yesterday, approaching the trade deadline in the NFL. My phone just kept buzzing with Adam Schefter updates. Adam Schefter is going to join Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in about 25 minutes. So stick around for that. And yet the Packers stand pat. Did not make any moves, did not make any trades. And you could certainly make the argument that there are several positions that the Green Bay Packers are in need of bolstering their depth chart, right? We obviously know about the injury to Tucker Kraft, so tight end right now becomes a position of concern. We've had concerns about the cornerbacks all season long. Chewy, are you surprised or disappointed that the Packers did not make a move at the deadline, that they decided to stand pat with what they got?
Can I ask you a question first?
Yeah.
Why is your the lettering on your shirt backwards on my camera? Or what is that? Is that supposed to say Homestead?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so he's seeing the three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's confused?
It's a two and a three. I don't even know where they are on here. It's a two and a three, and I believe it's supposed to be the S and the E.
Yeah.
Because it was for 2023. It's an old sweatshirt. I mean, by a couple years.
Yeah, very. I'm like, does the camera like reverse things like a mirror?
Did you notice that all the other letters were fine?
Like,
I did notice that. I didn't know what was going on, to tell you the truth.
I'm just trying to show a little support for the hometown team, undefeated in the playoffs, making a run.
Going to level three, big playoff game this weekend.
Okay, I just wanted to know if I was losing it. You know, I've been wearing glasses for the last couple years.
Don't you need to have it in order to lose it?
And I wouldn't use that as an indicator one way or another, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay, fair. Now to your question. There's a little bit of folding of the tent. A little bit. Half a cup. Half a cup of folding of the tent.
Season's over. Fold it up.
No, it's just, you know. You lose your best weapon on offense outside of Jordan Love. The corner position is close to a train wreck. I don't know. I mean, since trading started, there have been a lot of corners that have been traded. You think Asante Samuel Jr. is coming in here, and this is like Micah Parsons. My question, isn't anyone else signing him?
Okay, so a couple of things here. Asante Samuel we're going to get into a little bit later. But the corners that got traded outside of Sauce Gardner, which the Packers obviously were not going to do.
He went for two first-round picks.
Yes, which is insane. He basically went for the same thing that Micah Parsons did. Just crazy town to me.
So what does that tell you? Hold on, what does that tell you?
That the Packers got a heck of a deal for Micah Parsons?
Yes, I agree.
That's what it tells me.
Yeah.
So the other corners that went to are all going to be playing the slot. They're all interior corners. None of them, like, to the point that one of the corners that the Eagles traded for is going to bump Cooper DeJean outside. And DeJean has been so good in the slot, but they're going to bump him outside and start the other guy in the slot.
And perhaps you're familiar with one of the other corners that the Eagles traded for, Jair Alexander.
I was about to say, I stand corrected, Jen. He is the other outside corner that got traded. So the two corners that play the outside position that the Packers are looking for.
You know what, though?
One went for two first rounds, and the other was Jair. You really think they were going to go ahead?
I would almost take Jair back here. I would almost take him back.
You almost would.
Yes.
No. But you know what almost would means?
You wouldn't.
That you wouldn't.
I mean, they're an injury away from a train wreck at that position. If you think Bull Melton, who 3 months ago switched from receiver to is going to be able to cover Smith and A.J. Brown, as Homer would say back in the day, you're smoking crack with your grandmother.
But you're a little at the mercy of what's available, right? Like,
I know, but
maybe almost entirely at the mercy of what's available.
Good corners,
build a corner like Build-A-Bear.
Good corners are hard to come by, which is why which is why Sauce Gardner ultimately goes for two first-round picks.
JerMichael Finley,
oh boy,
one of the best Packers tight ends to ever play for Green Bay, had a neck injury, and they would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. If they sign Asante Samuel Jr., that is done out of desperation times 10. Times 10.
Mm-hmm. Because and again, we will talk about Asante Samuel Jr. in depth as the show goes on.
I'm just saying, you know, for someone that had a neck injury, I was done. I was cooked. It's over. And just because you get the thing repaired, you know, it's still an extreme weak point, okay? And it's very vulnerable. And I can tell you this, if he does come here, because we did it with Deion, every run play, we are running at Deion if they were going to play cover two, because then it's one less man. He ain't going to stick his head in there 8 months after having surgery on that. It just ain't going to happen.
Well, again, so, I think we've addressed that the key needs for this team are tight end, obviously, with the injury to Tucker Kraft, and cornerback, because we've been concerned about depth and talent at that position all season long. But again, not a lot on the shelves, man. You know, it's not like you can just build a cornerback. You can't just go out there and say, oh, we need to manufacture one. You're at the mercy of what was available. Now, David Njoku, I did hear that there were some rumblings. I think I mentioned that earlier this week from a tight end standpoint after Tucker Kraft went out. That intrigued me a little bit, going to be honest, but not enough to be like, let's pull the trigger on it. And this always reminds me of that quote, and I know I've used it a million times, and it is secondhand, but Dario, my husband, was doing a thing with Bill Polian at ESPN, and Bill Polian said, just because you're thirsty for lemonade, don't bite a lemon. And that would be what they would have had to have done to go out and get somebody, because there just wasn't anyone available that would have been a surefire, great fit, and was worth giving up what they would have had to give up.
Yeah, but when you own a lemonade company, sometimes you got to bite the lemon. I'm sorry. Because this season is Super Bowl or bust. That's it. You go get Micah Parsons, you win a Super Bowl. That's all I'm saying. I mean, do you guys like the way Howie Roseman does business?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been very successful.
He may seem a little reckless at times. You know, he just doesn't value draft picks. And I don't understand what the value of draft pick is. Other than Goody's way of staying uber young for a team. Well, I don't get it.
Okay.
And I would like to know the hit rate. Hold on, Gabe. I'd like to know the hit rate that where fourth or fifth rounders are on a roster for at least 3 years. I bet it's small. So if you're going to trade a fifth round pick for Njoku?
David Njoku, yes.
Okay. Njoku? He's already proven. So the hell with the fifth round.
But a couple of things here, Chu. So first and foremost, Njoku is a free agent at the end of the year. So I'm guessing the Packers would rather have Tucker Kraft than David Njoku. How long would it take Njoku to become acclimated?
You do it. Well, he's in shape because he's playing football.
Yeah, but
you start him
in,
off.
Learning the
you
offense,
start him off
doing
with 15,
things,
20 plays. You start him off with
so
15,
how
20
long does
plays,
it take
just like
him,
Parsons.
So how much does it take him to be
by the time ball? Games became really relevant, he would be fine.
So this game this weekend's not relevant?
I'm saying when you need to make a run and get hot for the Super Bowl, he would be ready.
And
that's all I'm saying.
And the point of the draft picks is once you and this is what's really going to be interesting to me in Philly. Now Philly has actually compiled a ton of draft picks, so some of the picks that they've traded away, it's because they've had like 3/3 and a couple of seconds because they've made some pretty savvy moves getting rid of some other players. And if they were in the position the Packers were in, where they basically just had their own draft picks, I don't think he would have been as aggressive, because when you are paying like Philly is. You are paying 7 of the top 100 salaries in the NFL. You do need cheap labor on the back end of that roster, and that's what those draft picks are. That is the lowest cost that you can have for people filling out the back part of your roster. And as the Packers have paid Jordan Love, the Packers have paid Micah Parsons, the Packers have paid Zach Tom, and they have more guys, obviously, that they want to pay. If they want to pay Tucker Kraft, if they want to keep climbing up the list of, hey, these are the core guys we're paying, you need the draft picks in order to fill out the back part of the roster.
For what it's worth, Yahoo Sports did compile the draft picks that each team has available for the 2026 NFL draft. Philadelphia Eagles have 10.
Yeah.
10 total picks by round in 2026. Chu, you want to wager, I guess, at how many the Packers have?
Six.
Seven. So you're very close.
Seven.
And to Gabe's point, none in the first round.
Yep.
There's just sometimes you got to keep pace if you want to be the lead dog.
Well, again, because don't you think you'll get a really good indication this Monday, I guess this coming Monday, of if you're keeping pace or not?
Yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see the pivot this offense makes, where it goes to the run or it goes to more of four wides. Because Musgraves, I don't even know what he is after 3 years. I really don't.
He's a receiving tight end. Yeah, I think he's a big athletic tight end that he's a different type of receiver. Like, he's not going to be the yak guy that Tucker Kraft was. He's somebody that I think you want to kind of stretch the field with. Like, he's better at running the seam
route. It seems that he has trouble processing,
yeah,
which happens. I mean, he just can't process like Tucker Kraft. He's more of a left foot, right, left, right, left, right. Okay, the left goes next to you when he runs. You know, he has to think about running. I'm just saying, he doesn't have the same process ability as Tucker Kraft has to find a hole and things like that. He's just very...
Yeah, I think you're going to see them mix things up in terms of, I mean, and again, everybody was pretty excited about Luke Musgrave after those first 10 games his rookie year, because he was on pace to have a pretty decent rookie season. And if they could try to find a way to recapture some of that magic, he's not the blocker, obviously, so I think they have to pivot to throwing the ball a little bit more with him on the field. Maybe you see in some different situations they bring a sixth offensive lineman on the field to run the ball a little bit better. That trend has been coming back in the NFL. I feel like it was around back in the early 2000s, and now it's kind of come back. I think those are a couple of the different things that you're going to see the Packers do.
Is Golden going to play?
Yeah, I think he's good, right? Didn't they say he was good?
He's day-to-day. I don't know if that means he's good or not. But on Monday, LaFleur said he was more day-to-day than week-to-week. We'll get some sort of indication. I'm guessing at best he's limited in practice today. Look, I have no idea.
Chew, you know there's nothing worse than getting a player or trying to get a player when you need a player, right? Because every other team in the league is going to take advantage of that desperation, right? Mm-hmm. Every team in the league knows that the Packers are down a tight end and that they're going to force them to overpay. Like, that's the other thing you have to take into consideration when you're in the position the Packers are in. And I know that the Packers don't want to overpay. It's certainly not something that Brian Gutekunst has shown, not a tendency that he has shown in his time in charge. If between those two positions, tight end and corner, Chew, if you had to choose, which one would you have said they should have gone after?
Just because I think there's more desperation with a corner, even though this is an offensive league. And you have to, I mean, look at the points like Seattle is scoring and the Rams are scoring. I mean, I think Seattle put up 38 this week. You know, they're scoring a lot of points. But I think, like I said, they're one click away from, like, holy cow. But you know what the thing is? We knew this. And we talked about it during training camp. And we talked about it early in the season. It's just, we knew that this could be a problem. And it's a half a click away from being a problem.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line this morning. Craig in the 443 says, I don't know why they didn't sniff at Michael Mayer, Zach Ertz, or Mark Andrews, pillage the bad teams. Isn't Michael Mayer on his rookie deal?
Mayer is on his rookie deal, but, I mean,
he plays not a lot because of Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers is, you know, the best tight end in football right now. I don't know if you saw what he did this Sunday. Holy crap, that guy is unbelievable. So, and they did. I saw some different reports yesterday that they were in talks with the Raiders to try to go get Michael Mayer. I don't think the Ravens would trade Mark Andrews, so that's an interesting one. I think they were sniffing around trying to find something that made sense for them. But like you said, Goody wasn't going to be taken advantage of. Like, if the Raiders went, yeah, sure, give us a third-round pick for Michael, they weren't going to do that. If they said, if the Browns said, hey, we need a third-round pick for David Njoku rental, Goody wasn't going to do that. So
then you look at the tight end position as well, and Musgraves is a guy that's been hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, Fitzgerald or Fitzpatrick, he can't block an artery. So that's going to hurt the run game if there's an injury there. So it's...
Should we maybe get his name right?
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he's a third tight end. You don't really need
well, not anymore. He's the second tight end now.
Oh, that's true. All right, what's his name?
I feel.
Let's call
like
him Fitzmagic Light.
As a radio station, we tend to get backup tight end names wrong. Going back to when Tausch.
Generally speaking.
Yeah, just generally speaking. Just they don't get a ton of respect around here.
800-990-3776. Your reaction to the Packers standing pat at the deadline. Do you consider it a missed opportunity or do you think it was smart restraint by the green and gold? Let us know. 800-990-3776. I just don't think there was anything out there that they were willing to pay for. And I don't necessarily interpret standing pat as waving the white flag. I think they thought they had a good team going into this season. I think we have seen flashes of them being a good team. Do you have to regroup? Do you have to recalibrate? Obviously. But I still think this is a team that can contend if they can start putting stretches of good football together. Easier said than done, I'm sure.
Well, with this group already, Jen, we know that their best is as good as anybody else's in the league.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
We already know that. So I don't think that there's any folding of the tent, waving of the white flag. It's just trying to figure out how you can get the consistency out of these guys. Because adding one corner, adding one tight end, if you truly feel like this team is like they're not one corner or one tight end away, right? Like if they traded for David Njoku, it's not like Chewy, you're waving the flag, going, "Hey, Super Bowl contenders again, here we go." Like they're not just one player away.
Yeah, they can be as good as anyone with Tucker Kraft. I don't know how good they can be without. I'm sure they can be good.
Yeah,
I don't know if they can be very good without Tucker Kraft.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Continue on the show, but let us know, 800-990-3776. Missed opportunity or smart restraint by the green and gold to stand pat at the trade deadline yesterday. And don't forget, we've got Adam Schefter coming up in about 10 minutes. We can ask him all of your trade deadline questions as well. Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. How do I know this? Because I use them over and over again, especially for my transportation needs during college football season. Corporate travel, weddings, group events. I know you got some holiday parties coming up. They're on the calendar. You might want to use Accutrans to cater to that occasion as well. Booking is easy, safe, and dependable. Visit their website at AccutransGroup.com to get a quote or book a reservation today. That's AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation anywhere.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe, bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let me tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because when it comes to your home, the smart play, of course, is trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month, with 0% interest for up to 72 months. That's a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all the drafts. I've trusted Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, just the latest of the army we have here at ESPN Wisconsin that does. You should as well. So don't wait. Schedule that free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Interesting question here posed by John in the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on our YouTube page. It's ESPN Milwaukee. He says, I'm curious. Would you rather give up the two first-round picks for Micah Parsons or Sauce Gardner? So let's go into this like hypothetical situation where the Packers do not have Micah Parsons on the roster, and you have your two first-round picks still.
Yep.
Which of those two talents would you rather use those two first-round picks on?
Micah Parsons twice every day, seven times on Sunday.
I'll give you a third for Micah if Sauce costs two.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give you a third first-rounder.
Yeah.
Correct.
Chew?
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Could you imagine if they didn't have Parsons?
Ooh. I'd prefer not to.
No.
So if, please don't ask me to do it again. I'd prefer not to. Because, again, it goes back to Chew. To me, there are two positions in football that can just impact everybody else on your side of the ball. Obviously, on the offensive side, it's quarterback. Can impact everybody else. Like, his play can raise everybody else around you. That's what the pass rush does on the defensive side. And if you have a really good one, if you have Micah, if you have Myles Garrett, TJ, if you have one of these guys, it impacts everybody else around you. We've seen it with Rashawn Gary. Like, Rashawn Gary's getting more opportunities and coming through because he's getting more one-on-ones because all the attention has to go to Micah Parsons. Like, there's not a cornerback out there. As great as Deion Sanders was, if we're going to call Deion the greatest cover corner of all time, like, there's still only a finite amount of time Deion could cover.
Yeah.
Right? And the pass rush, if Micah gets home quickly, that forces the quarterback to throw faster. The corners don't have to defend as long. Everybody else just it impacts everybody else around you. If you have one of those game-breaking pass rushers, that's not true at the cornerback position.
My gut was telling me that Sauce Gardner was significantly younger than Micah Parsons. Not the case at all. Sauce Gardner 25, Micah Parsons 26, and I agree with you. Micah Parsons has the ability to impact all of those other positions, right? The linebackers end up having a better chance of making plays, you know, second level, third level, et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost like having Micah Parsons elevates. And I don't mean they elevate him to a Sauce Gardner level, but elevates the guys who are playing the defensive back position for the Green Bay Packers. I agree with you, having Micah Parsons is better. And I do think that as frustrating as it has been at times to watch some of these cornerbacks, Nate Hobbs, they have played fine. It hasn't been great. It hasn't been spectacular. It has been fine. Even Keyshawn Nixon bounced back from a crappy first half of football against the Steelers to kind of lock it down late in that game. So you have seen that they obviously can get the job done. Micah Parsons will always demand attention. For that reason, I think I agree with you guys. Micah Parsons is the pick there to answer John's question on the YouTube stream. 800-990-3776. Are you okay that the Packers stood pat at the deadline? Was there anybody that you wish that they had gone after? And here's the other way of looking at this, guys. Brian Gutekunst decides not to make a trade at the deadline. Is that a vote of confidence in Jordan Love? Is that a vote of confidence in the pieces that they have collected? You may make the argument, Gabe, that he's an unreliable source. He's an unreliable, right? He's the one who built the roster. So
I don't think it's a vote of confidence because I think Goody was active yesterday. I think Goody wanted to try to make a deal yesterday. Nothing came to fruition, right? So I don't think it was, well, the Packers didn't make a move. And I know the video was making its rounds yesterday with a number of different Packers beat writers putting out the old Mike McCarthy. Oh, trade deadline? Was that next week? Oh, it's today? Oh, that's what it's like. In terms of what the trade deadline was like under the previous regime. So I think Goody was active yesterday. There just wasn't a deal that he felt was in the best interest of the team short-term and long-term.
And I think you can interpret that, Chewy, as also not giving in to the desperation, right? Yeah, it's a bad situation to be in to lose Tucker Kraft. It's a bad situation to be in to think that maybe you missed on Nate Hobbs and that cornerback unit needs help. But I also don't think that you were going to overpay because teams know that you need guys at those spots.
I think Goody loves his draft picks too much because he cannot get off of whatever, for whatever reason, we need to be the youngest team in the NFL. And that's why he keeps his draft picks, which is hurting him a little bit. You know, young guys, some young guys are making mistakes out there, which I don't know why he's just so hung up on that. It seems like it's a badge of honor for him every year, you know. And this is a time, let me tell you what, we talked about leadership yesterday. This is kind of a time when you need veteran leadership, and we are questioning what kind of leadership the veterans are giving this team. So, I don't know. I think he gets a little hung up on that, where he's a little delusional in offering certain late-round picks for decent players, and I think that's why stuff doesn't get done.
DJ in the saw weighing in saying, I don't think Goody has the luxury to stand pat and not make any moves. Policy is breathing down his neck. Goody's going to find himself on the couch eating Cheetos every Sunday next year if he doesn't grow a pair. If I were him, I'd have the F them picks attitude to save my job. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next. Stick around.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf & Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
A great day to have Adam Schefter on the show as he can react to all of the moves that occurred at the trade deadline yesterday. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
I haven't chatted with you in a bit. I've been traveling on a lot of Wednesdays. In fact, there was some guy in the Carbless Talking text line that said, 3 days in a row of Jen? All right. What was the NFL trade that surprised you the most yesterday?
Sauce Gardner. Because the New York Jets just signed into a 4-year, $120-plus million contract in July. And now, 3-plus months later, you're trading that guy. So that was unexpected. And in fact, at one point, Sauce tweeted out the news initially. He said, there's a tweet of his that says something like, it's been real, New York, with a green heart emoji. And so, like, yeah, what's that? Like, I was in a chat with a couple of friends, like, wait, is he traded? And my friend's like, no, it's a joke. I'm like, okay, not a joke. Traded. So that was the one that surprised me. That was the one that really surprised me.
Adam, does Jerry Jones, with the moves he made yesterday, still think they're relevant this year, or were those moves made for down the line?
Chewy, those have to be down the line moves. I mean, they're moves that they hope can somehow, improbably, boost this team this season. But they're 3-5-1. Mm-hmm. They're 3-5-1. So they've played 9 games. They have 8 more to go. If they won all 8, if they went 8-0 down the stretch, they'd make the playoffs. They have to win basically all games. All games, right? Mm-hmm. In the NFC, with all the good teams that are on the NFC, they have to win all 8, probably. And they're just not good enough to do that. So, I mean, could they go 7-1 again? Yeah. I guess maybe. But those are moves that are made more, well, they're made for now, N26.
Our conversations with Adam Schefter brought to you by Smart 18. Whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business with top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and lifelong career support. It's not just a job, it's a career. Learn more at smart18.org and start building your future today. Adam, obviously the Packers did not make a move yesterday, but did you hear them? Were they sniffing around anybody in particular? Were they trying to be active and then just couldn't get a deal done?
Look, I think they made their move. They made the move in August. They traded 2 picks and a player for Micah Parsons. Like, you trade draft capital like that, you're not left with a lot more draft capital. Were they involved in calls? I'm sure they were. I never heard anything like, boy, you got to check on this. Like, I was hearing about the Jets for a couple of days. Like, hey, you know, you got to check into Quinnen Williams. And it was true. You got to check into Breece Hall. You got to check into Jermaine Johnson. You got to check into Quincy Williams. Like, the Jets were having calls. I never got that sense with Green Bay. I never heard any of that. Now, is it possible? Sure. But again, they didn't have a lot of draft capital after they made their move in August.
Adam, how are the Philadelphia Eagles doing this? How do they keep acquiring players and yet still have 10 draft picks for next year's NFL draft?
Well, first of all, Jen, I think they had 13 at the start of the season, 13 picks, if I'm not mistaken. And in some of these cases, they trade for the player and wisely, I love this, they flip picks. So you're giving up your 6 for a player and a 7. Like, I'll move back around, you know, at that point in time. And still, to me, it's a free player. Like, you get a free chip on Jair Alexander. You know, like, why not take a flyer on the guy? And that's what they're really good at doing. Jalen Phillips, they traded a 3rd-round pick for to Miami. He's an edge rusher. He's a free agent after the year. So if and when he leaves, they'll get back a comp pick in 27. So they gave up a 3. Let's say they get back a comp 4 in 27. Like, okay, were you willing to trade a pick, you know, 1 round in a draft a year? Yeah, for Jalen Phillips to give you a chance to, of course. Like, that's why they've been run as well as any organization in football and why they're so aggressive on things. And they're always trying to do more and more.
Adam, Asante Samuel Jr., I've heard the Packers are a team that is very interested, but a little backstory here. Packers steer away from guys with neck injuries, all right? I was older, had a neck injury, so it was easy to let me go. JerMichael Finley, in the prime of his career, had the neck fusion surgery, got cleared. Packers wouldn't touch him with his 10-foot pole. This is... It's the same medical staff. I think it was under Ted Thompson, but Goody was a high up in the front office. If they do sign Asante, is that a sign of desperation?
Well, first of all, you're giving me conflicting messages. You're saying they're very interested, but you're saying that they would never sign a player like that. So which one is it?
Well, I don't know if they're I'm just going, I haven't heard, you know, the Packers comments. I don't know. I'm just going based upon what I'm reading from local reporters. I'm just saying it seems to me it'd be a complete pivot in policy because there's been other guys with neck injuries.
Well, to Nick Collins comes to mind too,
Nick
right?
Nick Collins.
Yeah, but he never
another
got cleared.
One. Same medical staff, Adam. Same medical staff. This would seem a sign of desperation to me and just how bad it is.
It, well, first of all, it's one of two things. Number one, either the reports about the Packers interest in him are a little bit exaggerated, number one. Or number two, his condition is a little bit different than the others. I don't think they're going to make an exception for Asante Samuel to bring him. I don't think that's what's happening. I don't think that's the case. Either his injury is a little bit different than the ones you're describing, which, again, we know how conservative the medical staff is, and that's a great thing. And I don't think they're changing their standards in any way, shape, or form for Asante Samuel. Or I don't know. Like, I haven't heard the Packers linked. I haven't checked on Asante Samuel. Like, it's week 10. I've been in trade deadline world. So I'm not getting too fired up about players on the street. You know, no disrespect in week 10. I understand yourself. Like, I've been through. When's the last time a team added a player week 10 or beyond off the street, or, yeah. and the guy made it? Tell me when that happened.
No, I agree. That's why.
Maybe this is the local bias, but Andre Rison in 1996.
But I think you made his point by saying 1996.
That was the first one that popped in my head. I scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Wait, when did they sign him?
They signed him. Chewy, when did you guys sign him? Yeah, you guys signed him pretty
probably
late.
Week 10, 11, probably 10, 11, 12, maybe. What? Yeah, but he had just gotten released by Cleveland, Adam, maybe a couple weeks earlier. Yeah.
He was playing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't on the street for a year.
Well, you didn't say he had to be playing, Adam. You said they got added late in the season.
Okay.
Adam, I'd be talking about Andre Bad Moon Rising. Just wait till the summer and Chewy will tell the story of Andre flying on the plane without a shirt. But Adam, so I believe you said, what, 12 deals that you thought would be done? We ended up on the over, didn't we? I mean, the trade deadline, I feel like this was the most active NFL trade deadline that we've ever seen.
Well, it's funny. Well, it's not.
Really?
I made the comment on Sportsman, like I said, it was 15, and I think I said I would take the over. And if you go back and look, in before this year, in the month leading up to the trade deadline, the last 3 years there have been 18, 14, and 18 deals, and there were 18 deals again this year. 18. Now what's happened is, and it's interesting. I walked into one of the green rooms at ESPN yesterday, and there was Heather Dinich and Joey Galloway, and they're telling me about, oh, the trend in college football is coaches being fired now and you know, how this is going on. And we made – somehow the correlation was made, like, 10 years ago there were 4 trades in the month leading into the deadline. But then more and more people saw that you could and should be doing it. Everyone was doing it, so everybody got involved. And so now it's truly become a frenzy. And now you're seeing it every year where teams make these moves. And – we were saying, and I said to them, it's like what's going on in college. One program fires its coach midseason, another one does, another. All of a sudden it becomes something that other teams feel like they're perfectly okay to do, and it's acceptable, and other people are doing it. We're going to do it too, and we need to get in on it. And so these things spread. The trading that's gone on, it's not going to decrease. It's only going to stay at this level of increase. The firings probably will increase. Or it'll be like this moving forward. There'll be a bunch of firings in season where schools don't mind eating the money. And things start happening, and they seem to stick for a while in sports.
Adam, this is all well and good, but I think we all are waiting to hear your opinion on the biggest story that came out yesterday in the sports space, which was, of course, that Tom Brady cloned his dog. Now, I don't know what kind of rich you got to be to clone your dog, but I got to guess, Adam, you're probably up there. I'm hearing it's about $50,000 to clone your animal.
My goodness. Well, first of all, it's funny you asked that question this morning, Jen, because my wife and I were watching TV and they were having a story about Tom Brady and him cloning his dog. And we have four dogs and we lost our dog in January, Benny, our beloved Benny. And like my wife is putting him on our holiday card. Like we were just literally, I was going over that with her when I walked in to do this show. And the story come on about Tom, like, how would you feel about that? Would you want Benny cloned? And you couldn't love Benny any more than we love Benny, or people love their dogs. And my wife said, I don't think I could or would do that. Like he had kidney cancer. He had a lot of issues with that. Like, you want to clone that and bring that back and recreate that? No. And the idea of cloning your dog, I don't know. I know some people are in favor. To each his own. It just seems a little, to me, I don't know. It doesn't feel natural to me. I mean,
yes.
But I'm not it enough. Maybe there's something about it that it becomes a norm. And no, Jen, I don't care how much money you have. I'm not spending $50,000 to clone a dog.
Okay. I mean, it raised some eyebrows for sure, right? We all saw it and we went, what the hell?
Is that what it costs to clone a dog? $50,000?
I think it's got to be more than that, right? I just did a quick Google search saying how much does it cost to clone your dog? Now, Google might be catching up with the times too, right? Like, I didn't really know that this was a thing that was available to the public. I mean,
Paris
the very,
Hilton
very wealthy.
Did it.
I didn't know that either. Uh-huh. Someone told me that yesterday, that she was also on the list of people who have cloned their pets.
Who was?
Paris Hilton.
Well, I mean, Adam, both you and Tom are Michigan men. Whenever you have the annual meeting, you know, of all the famous Michigan alums, if you sneak the question in. Hey, by the way, saw this story. How much did it cost to clone your dog? Just, I mean, obviously be a little bit more, you know, casual than I am with the question right now. But, you know, you guys are both Michigan guys. You can get to the bottom of that.
You know what? Clone, that just like, that's a whole other
world. I know. It's a Pandora's box, man. I mean, next year, people are going to be cloning spouses, right? Or children. Like, it just makes me very uncomfortable. Makes me very uncomfortable. It reminds me of Jurassic Park. What is the line, Gabe?
Just because you should.
Or just because
just
you can
doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. This is a they didn't stop to think if they should type of thing. All right. Well, it's good to get your insight on that. I feel better about my position now that you agree with me.
We love our dogs. Love our, and the idea of cloning. I don't know.
I'm right there with you.
Doesn't feel right to me.
Nope.
To me. But again, I'm not as educated in that area. Like, I don't know what people know. So I want to say I'm speaking from a level of ignorance as well. I recognize that. But my wife and I this morning, like, yeah, I don't think we could do that.
I also wonder if you get to a certain point where you have so much money, you're like, what am I going to do with this 50 grand? Oh, you know what?
It's got to be more than 50 grand.
I like
it just
really?
Has to be. I think it's got to be.
It was probably free for
Why,
him because
though?
He's a,
Why would it be?
He's an investor in
What the hell
company.
Are they doing? They're just putting little this juice and this juice and...
Oh, my God.
Chewy the scientist over here.
I tell you what. I had a lobster last night. I wish I could clone that thing because it was good.
Chewy, you can't... Did you go out to eat for the lobster?
No, I cooked it myself.
Go back. Where did you buy it from?
The market right down the road.
Well, guess what? You can go back to that market right down the road, buy it again, and cook it again.
All right, might do that.
Maybe next time you buy two lobsters instead of the one. I don't know. There's some very simple solutions.
Pay attention
problem.
How you season it, and you can clone it.
A lot cheaper to clone your lobster dinner than it is to clone a dog.
I'm sure it is.
I am seeing some sites here that say it is upwards of $100,000.
That seems better. Yeah, that feels more in the ballpark.
I agree.
I feel like $50,000 gets you in the door. Yeah. And then they start adding up even more.
Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us and dealing with all of our nonsense. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, make the move and get in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos,
Burma?
The
that
last 2 weeks. Are you guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This fall, you can take a trip to Jackpot Land at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. Play with your Pottawatomie Rewards card for a share of $300,000 each month. Entries into the December Jackpot Land drawings, where another $300,000 in cash and prizes is waiting to be won. Plus, your drawing entries from September, October, and November all count as well. It is only at Pottawatomie. There is more information available online. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play. She can't give it. Wrapping up the first hour of the show, and I want to continue talking about this Tom Brady cloning of his dog. So for those who missed it yesterday, it was announced that Tom Brady reportedly cloned his dog, Lua. And obviously, I figured this was a rich person thing. Like, you got to have a lot of disposable income because I imagine it's expensive. The internet says it's about $50,000 to $100,000 to clone your dog. And it sounds like there are a lot of people out there who have done it. Maybe Tom Brady and Paris Hilton, just the most famous of them.
I'm guessing it's got to be $100,000 because this isn't something you would go cheap on, right? Like, you don't want the cheap version of cloning your dog. You want the more
top
expensive.
Tier.
Yeah.
Top end.
Like, if you're going to spend the money, like, spend the money.
Right. Does this concern you, Chu, going forward, this idea of being able to clone living things?
It doesn't concern me so much in this country, but rogue countries, yes, it does. Scares me.
Wait, what's a rogue country? Like, you can go overseas, like the hair transplant thing where you go to Turkey and get your hair?
Kobe would go to Germany to get, like, the different surgeries that he needed?
Very little regulation, you know. I mean, look at Bob Sacramento. He said they were cloning sheep, Gabe, in Sweden or Holland or something like that, you know?
I think they were. Right.
I mean,
famously,
the first.
I mean, I don't know what your
90s.
Take is, but I think Putin's a little nuts. You know.
Okay. Wasn't expecting this to get geopolitical.
Well, I mean, there's whack jobs out there, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you give them the technology and stuff, and they're all of a sudden cloning things they shouldn't clone.
All right, to move past this, cloning of pets is probably the least of our concerns when you talk about massive weapons and things like that. But isn't it just weird to have something that ostensibly does not have the same consciousness as the previous animal and then recreating it based on the looks? Like, you're not going to be able to make the same exact dog that behaves the same exact way, even if you're cloning.
Are you talking about like a soul?
Like behaviorally.
Yeah.
Well, is this like a nurture versus nature type of thing you're talking about? Like, because the second pet is growing up at a different time
just chemically, it's like not possible to create exact replicas like that. Like, there are certain things that happen at certain points that influence everything.
So, like, breeders, obviously, they try to create, like, certain varieties of, you know, whether it's the blue eyes and the gray coat and all of that type of stuff, right? And so they kind of do that, like, it's like a potion mixing,
but,
you know, just the old-fashioned way.
Exactly.
The old-fashioned
I don't
way.
Know why potion. You needed to do the motion there.
Just in case people were only watching on the stream. The point is, like, what's the point of cloning if can't he just go back to the same breeder type of thing is what I'm saying. Like let's talk about Kirk Herbstreit, right? All of his dogs come from the same breeder. So all of his golden retrievers that you see, they are golden, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Are brothers, right? So like he has had such good experience with that one breed of dog from that breeder, from that lineage. He keeps going back to that well. Can't you just do that?
I would say that's the way that Herbie is doing it is the way that I would do it. Not the way that Tom Brady is doing it.
I believe the discrepancy here is the dog, I believe, was like a mix and seemed to be a type of rescue. So that you cannot recreate.
It's more of a crapshoot, he's saying, to try to recreate. So if it's more about the breed, right, and you want to get that sort of breed, that sort of recipe down, I guess it makes a little more sense. I mean, slightly more sense. I'm certainly not sitting here going, well, now I've come aboard. Now I'm all in.
Well, but especially the way I guess Tom did it, if it was a rescue, like, why wouldn't you just then rescue again?
Well, because you want the same exact dog. Okay?
But that's not. But
you want the.
But
you
that's
want the
not
zombie.
How that works.
It's not.
It's not. It's not the exact replica.
Wouldn't you feel like there's a zombie walking around?
Yeah,
your house?
Like I would look at that dog and like the pain of losing the previous dog would just come flooding back.
It also reads incredibly greedy. Okay,
yes.
Just go out and get another dog like every average human. Go yeah. through the grieving process of losing mm-hmm. your dog and having those memories with that specific dog and start a new relationship, right? It's like Tom Brady because he's so wealthy, he can say, but I want that dog and I'm going to get that dog because I'm Tom bleeping Brady and I got all the money in the world to make that dog come back into my life.
I mean, he's got to do something with all that money Fox is paying
That's
him.
That's what I was saying earlier. At some point, you're just going, what should I do with this stack of money?
When do you think was the last time Tom Brady didn't get exactly as he wished?
Well, when Giselle left him, I think is pretty much the obvious one there.
That one is probably the only thing you can't truly control to the degree he has been able to control everything else in his life. There's another human there with their own thoughts and their own beliefs. Aside from that, he wants it, he gets it.
I'm pretty controlled.
Are you saying you get what you want or you don't get what you want?
He gets what she wants.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yes.
I think that's what our guy is saying.
I would argue that that's probably the dynamic in a lot of relationships, too.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. So Tom Brady cloned his dog. It came out yesterday, and the internet and the reaction was bananas, as warranted. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this. Stick around.